talking about a very interesting topic. Another very interesting topic. Relationships, right? Not just relationships, but healthy relationships. And then we added another word in there, the new healthy
relationships.
Okay?
That's a mouthful right there.
That's a mouthful. So that's saying that this, something in the old days was healthy too. But now it's something new. Something a little different. That's also healthy for you. And I might need some help on this, y'all. Definitely on this subject right here. I think I told y'all this before. I might need some help on that. So, but helping me and helping our viewers to understand. And but before we get into that, though, I apologize. Y'all know this is the Speaking with Gravity podcast. Y'all know us. But still want to, for our viewers who may not be as familiar with us, I'm Joshua.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Hannah.
And I'm James.
Yeah, and so we're your host for Speaking with Gravity in our eighth season here. So, yeah, but want to know the new healthy relationship. First of all, can we break that down a little bit, y'all? So relationship and then healthy relationship. Let's tackle relationship first, okay? And in the context of today, in the context of this episode, relationship. Tim, you like you itching?
Nah, I'm not. Not at all. Relationship, that can be, I'm trying to figure out how I word it, but that can be, some type of partnership between two individuals. That's how it's called. Mm-hmm. Partnership between two individuals. And when you say we are putting a healthy relationship, okay. I think there's a new back up. New.
Okay.
New meaning there's, like I said, something's been changed. So compared to how things were before, you
being a protector and provider. And now the new school way is that women and men come together and collaborate on all of the duties within the household. So the new school way is definitely different. Definitely different. Definitely some changes there. So, yeah.
Cool. I love your thoughts. I'm curious, though. So some of those, when we say new healthy, new and healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still feel as though it had to be things and went in the old way that was healthy too. So are any of those old ways of doing things, right, in relationships that were healthy, Are we bringing any of those over just from kind of just from what you all are seeing, right, mm-hmm. with relationships? Are any of those old healthy habits, old healthy ways of doing things coming over into the new way? Or is everything totally different?
I think having the men as a protector and provider is still evident in these new type of relationship, mm-hmm. But it's just structured a little bit differently. So it's okay. still like men are supposed to, you know, go to work and come home and still provide for the family. So they're not saying that, like, the new way isn't, oh, well, the man's just supposed to sit at home and now the women go take care of everything. No, they still have their own responsibilities, too. It's just more of saying women have more of opportunity, I think, mm-hmm. and women have more responsibilities as well, as in how the family is run. It's not just, oh, you do this and I do this. That's what I think when we say the new versus the old, but there's still some old things in there. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I really think it's case by case. I feel like some individuals, they value those traditional gender roles, and they want to figure out what worked well with those traditional roles and implement it into their new school relationship in a better way. And then on the opposite end, some people view those traditional roles as, you know, that didn't work for, that didn't work out how they thought it would work out. So we don't even want to implement gender roles at all. We want to be a partnership and, you know, collaborate with those different gender roles. So I think it's a case by case situation, most definitely.
Yeah. It's just interesting to me because I would hate to see some of, I would hate to see us miss out on some of the things that the old school, I call them, enjoyed, mm-hmm. right? Because they carried their relationship in a certain way.
I think it's all about, and I say this all the time, communication. Okay. If you want to know what the old school did, go talk to the old school and ask them questions. I mean, they're going to probably talk to you because I don't know about you, but a lot of the, you know, older individuals I've met, they love to talk. Mm-hmm. And especially they love to talk about what they done did throughout their life. So just go talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. And then you can put into play what works and does not work in your own relationship. That goes to communication and to your own relationship to be able to, like, hey, what are these different things that we want to implement and do not want to implement? And I think those conversations need to be held early before you even get into a relationship with someone, instead of later when you be like, oh, yeah, this ain't going to work out. Well, if you would have kind of had a conversation earlier, then you would have known that already.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think one major thing that plays a role, is being authentic. So when you're in the dating field, it's this
it's a field out there now.
Man, World War III or something. But when you're dating, you have to, one, be intentional, but also be authentic. You aren't trying to show somebody the most perfect version of yourself. You're trying to show someone the most authentic version of yourself. I feel like the new school way of dating, sometimes we have allowed social media to influence us just a little too much. You know, we're still humans outside of social media. I'm still a woman outside of social media. You all are still men outside of social media. So I feel like we have just allowed social media to influence us a little too much. Mm-hmm. And this is why we create these platforms to have real and authentic conversations. But it starts within yourself. You can't be out here dating and expecting a high value man and you are not up to par. You know, you're not carrying or you're not willing to learn the responsibilities that a high value man per se needs you to function. So it's already unequally yoked. And I feel that unbalance is what creates so much tension between relationships. If we can just, like you said, communicate and go back to the foundations, get back to those foundational things. Trust is very big. Communication, having mutual interest. These are all so important to a healthy relationship, plus more.
I'm going to say this.
Say it.
So, all right, a healthy relationship, like you said, the foundation, guess where that foundation begins? Friendship.
That's number one.
That's number one. All right. So if we cannot be friends or we do not develop a friendship, how can we be in a relationship? I cannot relate to you if you're not my friend. Or I can't have relations with you if you're not my friend. That's different.
That's different.
I can have relations with someone, with it, just anyone. But if someone that I relate to, I consider a friend. And that's why I say friendship is like the basis for
it. It's the foundation.
It is. And you know, if you have a solid foundation, if things get hard and rough, that person is just so easy to leave and be like, you know what, I'm just done, I'm over it. Y'all probably weren't friends to begin with.
Right.
But someone who truly cares about you and cares about whatever y'all have going on, they will sit and have a discussion with you and communicate what's going on. And that's how you work through, even if y'all don't agree on it, even if y'all decide that, you know what, these things are not, this is not going to work for us. Y'all can be friends enough and be friends enough in order to make that, have that conversation, instead of just saying, you know what, I'm out.
I think respect is so big. Respect is so big in relationships. I think that's one of the other foundational things that we, it's just mandatory. You have to have a certain level of respect for the person you date. In exchange, you have to expect that person to provide a level of respect for you, and you have to give that same level of respect, if not more. So I really think respect is so big, alongside with communication. We can communicate all day, but if it's toxic, if it's ineffective, if we're yelling at each other, that's not good communication. And it's only going to you know, cause your relationship to go, you know, negative or become toxic.
Yep.
So, respect is so important.
Yeah. I think too, man, people out there, please be careful who you're listening to when it comes to relationships. Man, listen, I was on Instagram the other day, and I try to follow things that don't interfere with my journey, right? That don't interfere with my growth. So, with certain people that I wouldn't follow, certain pages on Instagram and stuff like that I wouldn't follow. Every now and then something will pop up. And what's really trendy right now is relationship advice or what have you. And you really got to be careful on social media. I think you were mentioning that, Hannah, because a lot of the points, the ideas is brought up is not rooted in the right things.
Right.
You know, it's not that people not valuing the right things. Right. So those values that y'all brought up, like respect, that's important to your relationship. A lot of people lead with the conversation of money. A lot of people lead the relationship conversation with just all these things, right, that have nothing to do with really getting to know this person, right? And so you end up chasing something or looking for something in somebody that could be superficial, right? Something that can easily fade away. And not those things that make someone authentic, like you were saying. So y'all just be careful out there, please, in dating as well as just in who you're listening to. It's funny because, you know, my fiance and I, we went and you would think that talking to older folks, sometimes people are kind of apprehensive about that because you think older folks might tell you, man, you need to. The man just need to do everything, and the woman just need to change diapers or something like that. And we talked to an elderly person in our church, and we sat down and talked to them. And they were really like all the things that y'all just spoke to about new healthy relationships. It was, I feel as though the things that really matter don't really change from old to new, right? Those things that really matter, like being there for each other, like communication. It's more so. Just some of those roles that I think we put on ourselves so that I think in the past, the reason for some of it was it was just rooted in people's beliefs at the time, right? About what a man should be, about what a man should do, what a woman should be, what a woman should do. And a lot of it does go to there is value, right, that a woman brings to the table. There's value that a man inherently brings to the table, certain value. And so I think that was just I think in the past it was just a big effort to like reinforce that, right? But I think going back to what I was saying earlier is just being careful about who you're listening to, because you can get some bad advice out here. You can get some really good advice, man. You get some really good advice.
I think another strategy to building a healthy relationship is listening, one, but also understanding someone's strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
Regardless of one's gender, each individual has their own set of strengths and weaknesses. You know, my strength could not be cooking. It happens to be, FYI, but you know.
I'm eating meal.
You can bake, though, right?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. But say if I wasn't able to cook, you know, that's not my strength. However, I may be the breadwinner. I may be able to afford eating out or ready-made meals, some type of alternative. Do what works for you and your relationship, but do it in a healthy way. You know, arguing over simple things is how, like, that snowball effect happens. It starts so small and then it becomes something so big when it could have just been nipped, you know, right up front. So I feel like listening to each other is so important, but also just understanding someone's weaknesses and strengths and helping those strengths become better, but helping increase those weaknesses to become strengths as well.
Yeah. Another thing I think is important in a relationship is self-awareness. Okay. And I will tell you what I mean by that. You need to know, how is it that you like to be shown love? So I guess they call that love languages, right? So if I like gifts, or if I like quality time, I like touch, you know, words of affirmation, these different things, you need to know that so that you can communicate that to your partner so they can start giving you those things. Another part of that is, as a partner, you have to be willing to give that to your partner, right? Mm-hmm. Even if that's not how you typically show love, maybe that's something you could try doing, or that's something y'all could have a conversation with. Me, I might not be used to showing people love through giving them gifts. Mm-hmm. I may be used to giving them words of affirmation, right, reassurance. But if that's not their love language, guess what? It's going to have some type of conflict. So us having that conversation about, hey, how do you like to receive love? How do you like to show love? Mm-hmm. And then having that self-awareness about what's going to trigger you so you can communicate that to your partner. Right. That's creating a healthy relationship. So having that self-awareness of how you like to receive love, how you like to show love, self-awareness about what triggers you, what doesn't trigger you, how you respond to certain things, that way you can start having conversations about this in your relationship.
And I think a big thing is understanding why. So why is this your love language? Why do you react certain ways? Understanding the why behind an action is so important. And I say that because in my personal experience, my love language, one of my love languages is gifts. So I love gifts, and I don't really always like admitting that because people think it's like materialistic. Oh, you just want to be shown, you just want to be spoiled and shown love through expensive gifts. No, I want to be heard. So the gift can be so small, like, hey, baby, you said you was having a long day. I know you love socks. Here's a pair of fuzzy socks so you can walk around, you know, and ease the pain off your feet. I just want to be heard. So understanding the why behind certain things is so important. Why is this your love language? Why do you respond and react like this? If you really care and love your partner, you want to understand that depth, behind an individual instead of keeping it surface level. And I feel like social media and just society has caused us to form those superficial bonds, which, in return, we don't get anything out of. We get arguments. We get toxic behavior. But the deeper we grow, we're able to grow with the individual. We're able to understand that why.
Yep. And like you said, you just want to feel heard or understood. Mm-hmm. I think that's also very important because, like I said, people want to feel seen, they want to feel heard, they want to feel understood. If you give someone those three things, I promise you will have a happy person. So for them to hear, oh, I heard you say you like fuzzy socks, here are some fuzzy socks. Oh my God, they heard, they listened to me. I didn't know they paid attention to those small things. Watch the reaction that you get. Or if, you know, you say something bothers you and they respond to that in the, like, I hear you, I understand you, and I apologize. Oh, my God. So, yes, you apologize, but the thing that they remember is they heard me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get that because growing up, they probably didn't feel heard. They probably didn't feel seen. They probably didn't feel understood. And so that giving them that will give you a lot, will have you like a lot of, will have you a better healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So the Institute for Family Studies reveals that as of the year 2020, the divorce rate is on a, is at a 50-year low. So that almost sounds like some of these, some of these new ways of looking at relationships is working.
It's
now,
possible.
Possible, or people just digging it out for some reason. At least that's what I got from that study. Apparently, from 1950 to 1980, it shot up. But I think that was, so the divorce rate shot up. And I think maybe around that time was also like the women's rights movement and things like that. So I think during that time, right, you had, there had to become an effort for men to say, hey, I need to understand women better. Mm-hmm. And for women saying, I need to understand myself better, need to respect myself, I can be independent, I can have all these things. So it's almost like there had to be a point where we had to learn, right? We had to communicate, we had to talk, right? Mm-hmm. And since then, since the 80s, that divorce rate has been coming down. So I think we're on a good trend, possibly.
I definitely agree. I think we're on a good trend. I also believe that there's an agenda out here meant to separate and meant to set up women against men. Like, let's just be realistic here. We see on social media all of the memes and backlash about the 50-50 conversations and who should do this and why somebody deserves this type of treatment compared to their partner. There's an agenda to separate men and women so that women don't value men and men don't value women. That agenda has no place. If you want, you know, healthy relationships, if you want a healthy family, that agenda has no place within, you know, your heart. We have to, and speaking from my own experience, I have to do a better job of understanding the value that men place in my life and also exemplifying my value, like helping my brothers out, you mm-hmm. know. And it's not just in romantic relationships. This is in every aspect. So romantic relationships, but also professional relationships, every type of relationship, there's always going to be different differences. But how can we come together to unite these differences for one common goal or for unity?
I'm going to give y'all a tip too, man. So my fiance, I know she talks to someone of the opposite gender, so of my gender, right? A guy, you know, with somebody close to her, just about, I guess, almost things pertaining to a man, right? Ways mm-hmm. that men think. And I have somebody as well of the opposite gender that that I may, you know, ask specific things. And that has helped me out a whole lot. I mean, be careful who you're talking to, right? You never know people's agendas. But that's been really helpful to me. Y'all wouldn't believe it. Because there's some things that as a man, I mean, men and women differ. And there's some things mm-hmm. that, you know, I may misjudge, right? And, I mean, case in point, it was something really small. And it was kind of... It's kind of big to me. I was just curious. And my friend, she said, don't ask that girl that. She said, don't ask that girl that. And she explained why. And I ain't saying nothing about it. I'm just taking it from a woman. You know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm going to take it. And I think that can be important, too. But you got to watch who you're talking to, you know, because some men, they got ulterior motives. They might, you know, they might really have something for you deep down. And some women the same. You know, it could be the same deal. So
is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex? If I'm in a committed relationship, is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex?
Your partner need to know him. Your partner need to know him.
Know him on what level?
Know him at least. So if I am going out. So it's like this example. If I'm going out to dinner with a friend of the opposite sex, my partner needs to know them well enough, right, to where there's either no question, or if there is a question, then my partner needs to be able to, I need to be okay with my partner going with me.
From my experience, your partner going with you regardless. You ain't going to dinner by yourself.
That's what I'm saying. Like now, in some instances, I feel like where, you know, what if I knew What if I had a friend for 10 years before? You know, we go back to high school, right?
That means we got a friend for 10 years.
No, I agree. I'm with that. But what I'm saying is, you know, there may be, you know, my partner may be okay with me going out with them, maybe not at night, but maybe for lunch, right?
Yeah.
Maybe okay with that. But I think that definitely with new friends, if it's a new friend, like we either need to be going out together or, like, she at least got to go the first few times to get really comfortable. That's a tricky one. That's a sticky situation.
Right?
Yeah. It's got to be a comfortability.
I want to hear your opinion. What you got to say?
Y'all not ready for it.
I want to hear it.
I think you can and you should have friends of the opposite sex.
Okay.
I think that if you are secure within your identity and in your relationship, then you should be able to have friends of the opposite sex. However, this is when communication matters the most. Mm-hmm. I can't have a friend of the opposite gender and we going out for drinks or, you know, something late night and I'm not communicating that to my partner. And then my partner sees it on social media. Oh, we having a good time, buddy.
That's good.
Nah, that's not communication. Mm-hmm.
So you saying if I communicate it, then it's okay?
If you communicate it and you all have a conversation and your partner is okay, you know, is okay, then cool. You know, go out, have a good time with your friend of the opposite sex. But if you're trying to hide and be shysty and sneak around, that's obviously not a friend. And let's define a friend. A friend is someone that you're not attracted to and that is not attracted to you. They don't have romantic interest in you. Literally a friend. Yeah. It's a lot of gray area, though.
That was a lot of gray area. And I won't cap.
So, I wouldn't even want to put my partner in that situation, right? If it's going out late at night, I ain't doing that. Like, I ain't going out with you late at night,
right?
Unless she coming along with us,
all right.
Boundaries, respect.
Saying there's nothing wrong. Like, it's what works for your relationship, though. Like, that's important. That's where the communication comes in.
If it works
for your relationship, then I'm cool. Yeah. If you like it, I love it. But me. It's certain stuff I wouldn't want to put my partner in that situation because I wouldn't want them to put me in that situation either. But talking up front, though, that's why that's so important, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Boundaries and communication. That's the two main things, I think.
So what does that communication look like, though?
That communication might look like... I don't even know why you asked me that, to be perfectly honest, because I ain't said whether that was it was good or not good. So you might want to ask her what that conversation looked like.
No,
you
know what I'm saying? What does communication look like, man?
Well, I wish I could tell you, dude.
I can start.
But I really can't.
I can start. I think it requires honesty. Honesty. You know, because I have three brothers, so I naturally have a lot of guy friends. I love sports. I love cars. I love more of those masculine-related activities. So I have a lot of guy friends, and I also have a lot of friends that are girls. It would be a disservice to me if I get into a healthy relationship and my partner is saying, oh, you cannot hang out with any of your guy friends ever again just because we're in this relationship.
That would be,
you know, a disservice to me. However, if I'm honest and I communicate, hey, this has been my homeboy for, you know, 5 years. This is how we met. I think that's important, too. Mm-hmm. This is how we met. And, you know, we're about to go to this sports event together and hang out. There has to be some type of agreement between you and your partner. If your partner feels uncomfortable about it, let's understand why. Let's navigate that. But I think it just requires honesty.
Yeah. So is it things that you can do, though, to ease your partner's mind about it? Because they're going to have
that suspicion.
And I mean, that insecurity, too. Like, they're going to have that. And that's fair for them to have because they came in having this insecurity.
Where does that insecurity come from?
I don't know.
Does it come from your past relationships? And are you projecting trust issues?
It could be just how they look at relationships, too. It might not be necessarily.
Where do you learn about relationships? What is one of the first relationships you see or notice?
It's your mother.
Or dad or mom and dad, right? Mm-hmm. If we really want to take this back, as a therapist, I've learned this, but so this kind of difficult. That's why when you asked me that question, I'm like, I can tell you my personal opinion, but the professional opinion kind of, they kind of balance it out. Because if that person was the, you said, is it good to have relationships with someone of the opposite gender? Well, communication, of course, boundaries, of course. But then if that person doesn't, oh, you can't have that friend. They're trying to control you now. Yep. So is that a healthy relationship now that you're trying to control what I'm trying to do? But if we can have a conversation, and let's say you do have a problem with it, and then we start to have a conversation about why you have the problem.
Why?
Why? Mm-hmm. Right, let's really have this conversation. What are you afraid of? Oh, then I just don't know. It's not that you just don't want me to. You have a problem for a reason. So let's really get to the bottom of this. That problem could be, well, I feel like you and this person got something going on. Well, why do you feel that way? What have I done? Oh, I feel like, and what you're probably still going to get to is, you're going to leave me.
Mm-hmm. Abandonment.
Abandonment issues. Now we got a whole nother can of worms that we just opened up. So that's why I said, if you really want to know, we can get down to it. But it's more of, I think that person, if that person respects you, like your partner, if they respect you, if they trust you, y'all can have a conversation, y'all can come to an agreement, y'all can come to boundaries, not at night, only for lunch. I need to know about it and start to lay out things so that they can feel secure. But no matter what you do, if they never feel secure, that's not a healthy relationship, because now you're going to be always be on the defense. So you got to think about that.
I got you. But also, I feel like it's something. So the person, though. So let me ask, Hannah, in your situation. We got a little time, though. So in your situation, like, what is that person? Like, in your situation, what are you willing to, are you willing to compromise in a way, though?
Yeah.
In what way could you?
If I'm going out with a guy friend, compare it to if I'm going out with a female friend. If I'm going out with a female friend, we're going to look super cute, you know, might do our makeup. If I'm going out with a guy friend, on the other hand, if I want to do my makeup, sure, but I'm not going to do the most, you know, do that extra layer of trying to look glamorous and trying to look aesthetically pleasing, because that might cause some insecurity with my partner. So I'm going to do what I have to do on my end to avoid those insecurities coming out. I think something else we've been talking about, communication. If you're out hanging with your with a friend of the opposite sex, check in with your partner. You know, check in with your partner. Don't let 4 hours go by.
You're ghost
with your guy friend, and you go ghost. Like, come on, like, check in, communicate.
Don't go ghost. Hey, you ain't never took 4 hours to respond, but yeah, you with that dude, and you took 4 hours. We got a problem,
right?
So you about to cry too, Terry?
We got a problem. This is a sensitive topic.
Okay, Tyrese.
Yeah, man. It's a two-way street, man.
It's definitely two-way.
It's a two-way street with these relationships.
This has been a fun episode.
I like it.
We might need a part two.
Yeah, because it's a lot that we can talk about with this one.
Gosh,
I don't know if they ready.
I don't know if we ready. What you mean?
Okay,
Josh, you got something in your mind? You over there contemplating hard, man.
I keep forgetting. It must don't matter. I'm trying to think about it. It did in the moment, but how we looking on time, man? We need to get up out of here. Okay. Y'all got any more thoughts on this? It's great.
I'm done.
I just want to say, don't let's not allow society to separate men and women. We're here to support each other. We need each other. The world would not revolve and evolve without women and men cooperating, supporting each other, collaborating together. And that doesn't just have to be in the romantic aspect. It can be in the friendship aspect, in the business aspect. Let's learn how to support and collaborate with each other.
So I know what I was going to say. So be mindful, though. I think you have to be mindful of where your significant other is on their journey, though. Sure, maybe they got some insecurities. Y'all talk about them, right? That's really important. But then after y'all talk about them, you have to be careful not to trigger, and then just go on and do it your way just because y'all done talked about it, right? Just expect them to just change overnight. No, that's going to take some growing for them. You got to give them some grace for that. And I think that's important for us to be mindful of, too, is they got to continue to grow. One day, they may get to that place where, you know,
where you know, the insecurity is gone, or at least it's more manageable, mm-hmm. right? But in the beginning, there may be things that you have to do. If you really care about that person, you will do them, right?
Right.
If you really care about them.
I agree.
But those things that you have to do so that they aren't, as triggered, mm-hmm. you know, just so their mind is at ease. So just being flexible, man.
Right.
Being flexible.
And a relationship is 100% and 100%. It's not 50-50. It's 100 and 100.
I like that.
You pour into me, I pour into you.
Yeah.
If you're feeling down, I'm here to lift you up. You're feeling down, you know, it should be reciprocal.
Let's go.
And I like what you said, where we have to understand what level your partner is at. But you also have to be willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
So many relationships don't work out because it's one-sided. Mm-hmm. And one person is unwilling to compromise, or the other person, they have relaxed and loose boundaries, and they're just going with the flow. Whatever you say, you know, that's what it is. Nah, communicate, come together, learn how to compromise with each other. And I feel like you just have to be aware of what level your partner is on emotionally.
Yeah, emotional intelligence is a big thing. I guess we can be about to wrap up, but y'all want to speak on that though, because I think emotional intelligence is a big thing in a relationship. Y'all want to speak on that?
I always said that whatever life partner God has for me, I would appreciate if they went through therapy. That's a standard for me. Because they have to be self-aware, and they have to have some type of, I'm a whole therapist out here. You know, I can't be a therapist in my relationship, which I've done before. So my standard is, you know, whoever God sends my way to become my life partner has to have gone through their own therapeutic process and discovering who they are as a person and healing from their childhood traumas before we can even grow. So I value understanding your partner's emotional intelligence, because you can't argue if your emotional intelligence is on 10. You can't argue with somebody or disagree, I say, with somebody's who emotional intelligence is on a level 5.
Can we define it real quick too, emotional intelligence?
Emotional intelligence, you want to help me out here?
Pretty much being aware of what you're feeling. Let's just put it that way. How am I doing emotionally?
And expressing it
and communicating it.
And can I pick up on yours too?
Exactly. Can I pick up on yours too? So I feel like that's important when you're in a relationship. And like you said, if somebody is on a 10 and somebody's on a 5, that's a drastic difference.
It is.
And that's going to probably cause some conflict. So yeah. I can understand when you said that person needs to go to therapy, mm-hmm. or they need to be on some type of journey to where they're trying to get better.
At least try.
Yeah. And showing that effort that, hey, I am trying. I might not be at a 10 right now,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to get there. And then you can be like, okay, again, I'm not your therapist, but I like you enough that I'm going to help you get there,
mm-hmm.
right? So being supportive and lifting them up, because it's like you said, it's 100% and 100%, and I love the way that you put that.
And we all have our strengths and weaknesses. My strength may be my emotional intelligence. Your strength may be your physical. You know, you're able to do physical labor. If you really want something to work with your significant other, figure out those strengths and weaknesses and figure out how to collaborate together and interact with those strengths and weaknesses.
Great conversation, y'all. Well, y'all, it's been another great episode of Speaking with Gravity.
Good old Gravity.
Yeah, we hope that no relationships were hurt during the course of this filming, during the course of this video.
Feelings might get hurt, but not relationships.
So listen, baby, if I spoke out of pocket at all,
don't try to apologize now.
I love you.
Yeah, it's April, a whole lot of spring cleaning going around. Yeah. Clean up those relationships, y'all.
That's right. Before clean summer, please. Because summer, it get crazy out there summertime. At least it used to. I ain't out there, so I don't know what it is.
I might be in one, you know, after bike week, because that's coming up.
We are here for healthy relationships. That's and it. Shout out to Winston, y'all. We got to give a shout out to Winston for the audio and visual recordings. He's so amazing. He's the man that makes this production happen behind the scenes. So shout out to him.
And that man be working. I ain't even going to lie. Winston be doing it.
Yeah.
He got a lot of responsibilities. He makes sure, you know, we're on point with you know, mic checks. We're one on point of where we need to be looking. Like, he really pays attention to the small details.
He's on it.
And I appreciate him for that.
Right. Oh, definitely. And so, we appreciate you all for listening, too. So, yeah. Shout out to you all.
Thank you.
And shout out Curvin. Shout out Curvin.
Shout out to Curvin.
Curvin.
You know, he ain't with us this season, you know, but he is with us.
He's always, yeah.
He behind the scenes. We're going to drag him on here, though. We're going to drag him on here one of these episodes.
One of these episodes, he will have to come back for you guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Y'all, it's been fun, though. It's been fun.
It's been great. Look us up, Speaking with Gravity, on all platforms, at Speaking with Gravity. Y'all know I'm at Garvey, number 4 prayers.
Yeah, you can find me, Hannah Elise, 2 underscores on Instagram.
Instagram, Terrence _Dawkins.
Y'all take care now.